Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 229, the stanzas 3, 4, and 6. Blessed they who in thy house abide, they still to thee shall render praise. Blessed they who in thy strength confide, and in whose hearts are Zion's ways, and what follows. Psalter 229, the stanzas 3, 4, and 6. a portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together. It can be found in John 1, the verses 29 through 42. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. John 1, the verses 29 through 42. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man, which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Again the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. And then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. Thus far the scripture reading. Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. Our Lord, when by renewal we come up to thy house and we attempt to draw nigh unto thee in prayer and thanksgiving, then it behooves us to acknowledge thee that even with the snow that we could come up to thy house this morning, and that the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ could be administered, and then in this evening hour, then each and every one of us are called upon to reflect what has taken place in this morning hour. Wilt thou grant thy spirit to that end, then it is pleased thee to grant guests, then they are called to examine the wedding garment, called to examine concerning that thankfulness, and also concerning the strengthening and the increase of their faith. Lord, thou hast a people upon the earth who each time by renewal have a holy longing that they may receive thy special confirmation and thy favor. Wilt thou grant unto souls an after-gleaning, an aftertaste of the wonderful things of the Lord concerning thy dear Son, the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sin of the world. Lord, then all the confessing members have made a confession, and thou knowest also how they have spent the day, how they have come up to thy house. Ah, Lord, remember all the unconverted. May that become an unbearable burden. May it please thee in this evening that thy word may be used as a sharp arrow dipped in thy love and dipped in thy blood, and that it may penetrate into their hearts. And that is an arrow which man can never remove. That is an arrow that wounds, and then there shall come a cry after thee, the living God. And then it is the Spirit's work to reveal that balm in Gilead, the Lamb of God, who has come to that end. Ah, Lord, may still be declared that there is a Savior for sinners when there are those souls that have not come up so easy to thy house, perhaps distressed, at their wit's end, that know it no more, tossed to and fro, caught in the thickets of unbelief, wilt thou be mindful of them. May that unrest, may it not disappear, be removed, until they may be given to behold by true saving faith, by the work of the Spirit, the Lamb of God, that taketh away the sin of the world. Lord, remember our boys and our girls. Remember our young people. Thou also knowest how they have sat in thy house in this morning hour. Everything must be done orderly and decently, but may there have been among them, oh, that have sat with such a holy jealousy, that have prayed in their bench with a longing to belong to that people that is saved by the Lord. Lord, we humbly ask thee, remember us and our children with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. Wilt thou grant wrestlings, a storming at the throne of grace, that thou may do wonders. We are all traveling and hastening to eternity. We only have one soul. It is a soul that needs to be saved. And Lord, if thou doth not intervene, then we are eternally undone. And to that end, thou hast taught thy church to pray, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. May it please thee to do a great work amongst us. Bless thy word in the church. Help the consistory to that end. Grant many errands and hers. Bless thy word in the family circles. Help fathers and mothers to that end. Bless thy word in our Christian school. Continue to grant traveling mercies. Remember and help all those that labor therein. We commend also unto thee the branch where thy word has been read, and all awaits for thy blessing. We commend unto thee the established churches, the persecuted church, the Jewish nation. Oh, they are at war. Wilt thou grant thy help? Remember all mission work, also our mission field. Then the labors surely are manifold. The labors are few in the established churches. In our Christian schools, the need is great, and also the need upon our mission field. Lord, remember our nation that has sung so far away from thee, continues on its downward spiral to destruction. So little is heard of sin, of guilt, the calling to repentance. Remember our leaders federally, provincially, in the cities, also our town council, then we commend unto thee all those and all organizations that are striving to uphold the biblical ways. May it be accompanied with prayer. May it please thee to add thy blessing. And when we are given to see and consider everything that is transpiring, may we be given to flee unto thee, grant repentance unto thy church from worldly and evil ways, and a seeking to find a hiding place under the sheltering wings of thy dear Son, whose name is also called Emmanuel. Remember the many temporal needs, all the mourning ones, widowers, widows, orphans, all those that have brought dear ones to the grave. Continue to uphold. Remember all of our elderly ones. Remember our Bethesda, the residents, those who may care for them. Remember all the sick and afflicted, those that in a special way are under the doctor's care with pain, weariness, worries, fears, at times overwhelmed. Then we commend them all unto thee, those that stand in need of healing and strengthening. Then surely thou art speaking in special ways. May the callings be sanctified. We remember the handicapped ones cannot be different, at times very discouraged. May they be given to fold their hands, the crosses, the burdens. Well, to bless family circles, husbands and wives, and the children. And now in this evening by renewal, then we humbly beg of thee for thy help. Grant fresh anointing from above. Give words to speak. May thy word go forth with power divine. Go from bench to bench, and from dwelling to dwelling, for all those that may listen along. Do go from heart to heart, and may this service be for the coming of thy kingdom, for the glory of thy name, our Lord. Dwell then richly amongst us. May sons and daughters be born in Zion. May thy people be instructed, edified, comforted, encouraged, and also corrected. Teach us more and more what poor sinners we are, sinners that need to be washed in the precious blood of the Lamb of God. Teach us more and more how dependent we are upon thee for everything. Pardon us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 415. Let us sing 2 and 4, and if necessary, also number 7. Unto me, O Lord Jehovah, show thy ways and teach thou me, so that by thy Spirit guided clearly, I thy paths may see, and what follows. 415. 2 and 4, and if necessary, also 7. beloved congregation, we have come together in this evening service to reflect upon what has transpired in this morning hour. And boys and girls, that word reflect, that means we must think back and be given to think of the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. And then maybe in this evening hour, then there have been boys and girls, when they were still given to see the table, whether they wondered whether the Lord's Supper would be administered by renewal, but that is not the case. At the last members' meeting, the question has arose whether it would not be prudent and proper in a reflection service when we are called to reflect upon the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, the table of the covenant, whether it would not be more proper to leave the table standing in the midst of the congregation for the reflection service. And also mentioned, we know, boys and girls, that on the Sunday, the Sabbath day, we must only do necessary work. Then the daughters, they know it, then mothers shall say, we must do everything on Saturday before, or leave until Monday after, that we may do as least work on Sunday as possible. 'Tis the same on the farm, and to that end, the table may still stand in this evening hour. May the Lord add his indispensable blessing. A special preaching, of course we know it, that a table and chairs by itself shall not do its necessary work. We read in Luke 16 of the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, that rich man, that he has asked Abraham whether Lazarus could go to his brothers to warn them that they would not come into hell, because that is such a terrible place. And then Abram has said, they have not believed Moses or the prophets, and if one would even rise out of the dead, out of hell, and tell us how terrible it was, by itself it would not change the heart. But may it please the Lord in this evening hour, and then concerning the Lord's Supper, then also what a fitting word of our text words on Thursday evening. What sayest thou of thyself? For those that were given to attend, whether we had a wedding garment merited by the Lamb of God, and that consists of justification and sanctification. And then in the Thanksgiving prayer, then there are mentioned a few points. Render thee most humble and hearty thanks. Then the communicants are called upon to consider that humble be wonderment that the Lamb of God was willing to shed his blood for such a sinner as I was and who I remain. And a hearty thanks that is thanksgiving out of the heart. And then further also may tend to the daily increase of our faith. And when we speak of the strengthening and the increase of true saving faith, then it is so needful for a child of God that it becomes particular. Because the child of God, when they say those words, then it is necessary that it becomes particular, a strengthening and increase of their faith concerning the persons, concerning the work of grace, concerning the benefits, and concerning assurance, thus that becomes particular pertaining to their state, to their condition, also particular circumstances in the Lord's providence, to make it clear for our boys and girls, if you would be taken to the doctor in this week, and you would meet with the doctor, and the doctor would say, my boy, my girl, why are you here? And then you would say, to be healed. And if the doctor asked you to be healed of what, then you need an answer. And so it is concerning that faith. Then maybe a girl would say, I have such a terrible pain. Oh, doctor, do you think you can heal me? Maybe a boy would say, I have tripped. I think I have broken my ankle. Doctor, do you think you can fix my ankle? And maybe also a child would be not so easy to explain, but that he would say, oh, doctor, I do not have such an appetite. Sometime when I eat, I vomit. I am losing weight. I am becoming skinnier. I am so tired, doctor. Oh, doctor, I am afraid that maybe I must die. Do you think that you have a remedy? Thus, what I want to make plain, the necessity in the life of a child of God of that close, that dependent life, we can so simply say, our faith needs to be strengthened, to be increased. But what a blessing it is when a child of God may declare what their exercises are concerning what their faith needs to be increased. What sayest thou of thyself? My unconverted fellow travelers, I hope that when the Lord's Supper is administered, that you have it not so easy. And then also in this evening, what sayest thou of thyself? Are you now glad that the table may still stand? A special preaching also concerning this morning hour, where when you have remained in your bench and when we are unconverted, that is your place, that you have made a confession, and then in this evening you are reminded. May it please the God of Almighty Grace to work lovingly. We have set it in this morning. Then the table may still declare that there is a way to be saved. Boys and girls and young people, how have you sat in church in this morning hour? Have there been those boys and girls that have sat with such a holy jealousy with a prayer to the living God that you may belong to that people? Further, what sayest thou of thyself? Maybe a few souls that are waiting that you know what I shall say. It's possible that yesterday evening there was even a soul when they looked outside that they thought maybe it shall continue snowing, thus the Lord's Supper shall not be administered, then I shall not deny the Lord or eat and drink judgment to themselves. And that also with that thought have come in the guilt. And then says, Lord, then it is clear that I am not a one of thine. The late Reverend Lemain, he has written an article, and he has written over that article, always wrong. And then when there are those souls that are tossed to and fro, then a reflection service is not such an easy service, because Christ has said in Matthew 10, the verses 32 and 33, whoso denieth me, confesseth me before men, I will confess my Father before my Father in heaven, but whoso denieth me, I will deny before my Father in heaven. And then it can be that there are souls who in a certain sense still in a week of reflection are given to ponder over these things and then come to a certain ease until they read the following announcement concerning the Lord's Supper. And now in this evening, with the table, with the chairs, what a preaching. And we need a divine right, a saving knowledge of the Lamb of God. But I read in 1 Samuel 20, where Saul at the feast of the new moon, because he was a religious man, and then the first day, there was an empty chair. Saul has seen it. The second day by renewal, the chair of David was empty. And then he has inquired, may there be souls for whom it becomes an unbearable case that all false rest may be taken away, that there may be no rest till they may be given to experience what we have heard in this morning concerning the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. In the thanksgiving prayer in our form, then it also speaks of the saving fellowship with Him. That is what our text in this evening speaks about. With the Lord's help, we wish to ask your attention for John 1, the verses 35 through 39. Again, the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. And then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. Our text words speak of the holy activity of two disciples upon the preaching of the Lamb of God. With four thoughts, in the first place, believing disciples. Secondly, following disciples. Thirdly, question disciples. And in the fourth place, instructed disciples. The holy activity of two disciples upon the preaching of the Lamb of God. And then four short points. They are so short, boys and girls, that when your father and mother ask you about the text and about the points, sometimes they are a little longer, but in this evening they are so simple and short that I think you can remember them and tell your father and mother. First, believing disciples. Secondly, following disciples. Thirdly, question disciples. And fourthly, instructed disciples. Thus, first, believing disciples. Then our text words speak of two of his disciples. In verse 40, Andrew was mentioned, and it is believed, and certainly it is so, that the other one was John, the author of this gospel, who at different times that he has named himself as the apostle whom Jesus loved. Those two men, they have become disciples of John the Baptist. They have sat under his preaching, and his preaching was a very uncovering and discovering preaching, because John the Baptist, as the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ, then he has spoken of their sins. He has called for repentance, for the remission of sins. And then he has addressed in Matthew 3 verse 7, than even the Pharisees and scribes. He has called them a generation of vipers. It's quite something for a preacher to address the congregation as a congregation of poisonous snakes. And then for the Jewish people, he hasn't covered them. They were trusting that they were children of Abram. He also had a word for them. And then those solemn words of Matthew 3 verse 10, that the axe is laid at the root of the tree, and every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Thus, what an uncovering preaching of John the Baptist. And then above it all, history tells us that when a heathen and a heathen family would come over to Israel, then the males all needed to be circumcised, but then they also needed to be baptized. But now John the Baptist was declaring that not only heathens, Gentiles need to be baptized, but also Jews need to be baptized. Thus he has directed them to their sins. Oh, then there have come many publicans, soldiers, and they were given to ask John the Baptist what we must do. And then John the Baptist has explained that they need to be baptized, but he only baptized with water. But there would come one mightier than him. He would baptize with the Holy Ghost and with fire. John the Baptist has spoken of one with a fan in his hand, the separation of the wheat and the chaff. But the two disciples, they did not say this is a hard saying. They have remained under his preaching, and they have become disciples of John the Baptist. And John the Baptist was given to point to the Lord Jesus Christ who would come. He would point to the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Thus also concerning the Lord's Supper congregation, then it goes especially concerning the priestly office of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is for poor sinners who have been uncovered, learn to weep, learn to mourn, a godly sorrow that leadeth to repentance. Sinners which cannot save themselves, ah Christ, the Lamb of God has come to save sinners. And for those sinners, then that Lamb of God becomes so necessary. And when it may be revealed, the gospel opened, so suitable and so precious, because it is written that he saveth to the uttermost. Our text words, they speak of the third day. The second day, with that precious preaching, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Then we do not read that any, even of the disciples of John the Baptist, that they have followed. Ah, surely, how discouraging and how disappointing for John the Baptist. he was given to behold the Lamb of God as the Son of God. In that respect, John the Baptist was led much further than the disciples were for 3.5 years. Because John the Baptist, it is declared in this chapter, given to behold Christ as the Son of Man, but also his divinity, the Son of God, and given to see that precious priestly work. We know that for the other disciples, that they were so busy with the kingly office of the Lord Jesus Christ. But what a disappointment and what a discouragement must have been for John the Baptist. Then those John the Baptists, then many times they turn unto themselves. Such unprofitable servants. Has the Lamb of God, have I betrayed him richly enough in his love and in his willingness? Have I laid the matter close enough to the hearts? Have I told what a terrible thing it is to be without God, without Christ, without hope in the world? Have I been as a Paul, persuaded men in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 20, a beseeching in the name of God, in the name of Christ, to be reconciled? Have there been enough prayers? Those John the Baptists, many times they are given to turning unto themselves and write bitter things against themselves. Of course, it is written in Zechariah 4 verse 6, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. An encouragement that it is written in the word that by the foolishness of preaching that the Lord shall use it to save sinners. 1 Corinthians 3, the verses 6 and 7. This Paul that is planted, Apollos that is watered, and it is the Lord that granteth the increase. And I read in Psalm 126, verse 6, that those sowers, many times they sow with tears, but they shall reap with joy. And then we read something very special. Then John the Baptist in verse 36, and looking upon Jesus as he walked. Thus Jesus has walked among that people. And so Jesus walks through the midst of the congregation in the administration of word and of sacrament. And then we read, John the Baptist, he did not have to complain that he had no ears. Undoubtedly, attentive ears, it is a blessing when in the congregation there may be an attention to listen. But now, congregation, what is the fruit of Jesus walking amongst us. For the two disciples, and then we see it so clearly, 1 Corinthians 12 verse 3, no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Spirit. Then surely, if we compare verse 29 to 36, then the proclamation of verse 29 is even richer and broader, although in the last verse of this gospel it is written, if everything that was written, then the books of the world could not contain it all. And then surely, then John the Baptist has spoken of more matters. Thus that is also instruction for us and our children. Then surely, John and Andrew, they were present the second day, and the word was not applied. But on the third day it was. What does that tell us, congregation? Maybe sometime we can think. I have heard it so often. Can be in church, in catechism class. Thus it is not so important. But think of the second and third day. The third day, that message of John the Baptist has been blessed. And let us all be honest. Does it not happen at times that when we read our Bible, that we read something new, that we question ourselves? How come I have never read that before? Thus the instruction is that we may faithfully place ourselves under the means. Our second thought, following disciples, not a Felix, he trembled. Made an impression. But when I have a more convenient season, I will call for thee. Not in Agrippa in Acts 26, who was said, almost, thou persuadest me a Christian. Maybe that wasn't this morning. That there were those that had profound impressions, that I need to be converted, not halting upon two opinions, but that message has come with power divine into their hearts, faith to embrace. And then we read that John and Andrew has left John the Baptist and follow Jesus. And it is recorded in John 3 verse 29 that the friend of the bridegroom has great joy when the bride may be united to the bridegroom. And so we may believe, we do not read, that John the Baptist became jealous, oh, that awful pride, and that he said to John and Andrew, do you not like my preaching anymore? No. Oh, what a blessed place when there may be that rejoicing. They were drawn by love. Thus that is a true faith. That is not a dead faith, but that brings forth as fruit a holy activity. And those disciples, they were drawn by love. And they were given to see so much in that precious Lamb of God that they have followed him. And I read in Matthew 16, verse 24, if any man will follow me, let him deny himself. Thus one we follow the Lord. That means congregation. That we need to leave other things. Christ has declared in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6, verse 24, that we cannot serve two masters. And now when the Lord gives to experience what John and Andrew have experienced and how far they have been led, because it is clear, we have mentioned those disciples. John the Baptist has been led much further concerning that priestly office of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is clear for the disciples that they were still so blinded concerning that priestly office. They have even spoken and striven against it. We read in Luke 24, verse 45, that their understanding was open, that they understood the scriptures. Nevertheless, that is instruction. As we have mentioned, for those truth-seeking souls, then they can be so exercised and so troubled. What a knowledge of the Lamb of God is, what that consists in. And then we have instruction in our text words. It is true, if we have went on house visitation to John and Andrew and have asked them concerning the knowledge of the Savior, then we would hear that that knowledge was very small, very limited, that they needed to be led much further, but then they would tell us he has become necessary and he has become so suitable because we have heard that he takes away the sin of the world, and then their exercises have become different. They have left John the Baptist, and they have followed the Lord Jesus Christ. Thus to follow, that means to deny that people when the Lord works. Then they are given to leave the world. But now a further step. Also to leave all their works and self-righteousness. As we read in the parable of the pearl of great price, that their goodly pearls and all that people, they have gathered many. And they are so precious. But they need to learn that with those goodly pearls, the justice is not satisfied. That is only by the pearl of great price. Concerning that following, let us only mention the text. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Let us first sing. Psalter 248, 1, 2, and 4. The man who once has found abode within the secret place of God shall with Almighty God abide and in his shadow safely hide. And what follows? 248, 1, 2, and 4. Activity by two disciples upon the preaching of the Lamb of God. And boys and girls, have you remembered the points? What was the first one? Believing disciples. The second one, following disciples. And thirdly, question disciples. They have followed Jesus. The true followers of Jesus, They can be so timid. They can be so fearful. When the Lord works, then the Lord works a holy jealousy in our heart for His people. And then there can be times that they have such a desire to visit that people. When they are young, sometimes they can even think, because they are laboring under the wrath of God, if I may now come in a dwelling where a true child of God lives, then I shall be safe, because the Lord has promised to care and protect this people. Then there can even be times that they start out, they drive past, no freedom to ring the doorbell, and that they return home. But then there can be those special circumstances, and now concerning John and Andrew, how long they have followed the Lord Jesus Christ before He has turned and spoken to them, that is not written in God's Word, but Jesus has turned. We never read in the Bible of a seeking soul with their sins, with their riddles, with their love, their faith and hope. Oh, it is true. Can be tried. In Psalm 13, we read four times. How long? Think in Matthew 15 of the Canaanitish woman, that she has cried and the Lord has not answered. At the Lord's time, in His way, in the time of waiting, what lessons the church learns. Their prayers, they become more earnest, more purified, more focused on the Lord's glory, His kingdom. And then the third petition. What a difficult petition. Then we read, this specifically mentioned, then Jesus turned and saw them following. What that must have been for John and Andrew. And what kind of a look do you think it was, congregation? Oh, it was such a look of love and a look of joy. Because Christ is given to rejoice. He says to His dove, "Oh, my dove, that art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs, let me see thy countenance and hear thy voice, for thy voice is sweet and thy countenance is comely." And Jesus turned. Is there also a soul in this day that has been exercised with another instance of Jesus turning in the Scriptures that we read in Luke 22? Was a look in the hall of Caiaphas of Jesus to a Peter who has denied Him. Oh, a look of love and a look of sorrow. And that look has bore a rich fruit. Because Peter has went out and wept bitterly. And Jesus turned and saw them following and saith unto them, what seek ye? Also included in that question, whom seek ye? Similar question has been asked to Mary at the empty tomb. Congregation, what seek ye? People of God, when we have attended the Lord's Supper, what were we seeking? To be included, to have a name? Or were we seeking Jesus and to experience that precious communion? That was the desire of the disciples. What seek ye? Oh, Jesus knew. He knew exactly what John and Andrew were seeking. Are we glad, congregation, that the Lord knows everything? Also our hearts, how we sin in church. Can we say in this evening, Lord, thou knowest that I am seeking thee? And it is true. The psalmist has even said in Psalm 119, verse 25, my soul cleaveth to the dust, but he has added a prayer, quicken me according to thy word. It is a privilege and a blessing when with all our temporal blessings and our temporal labors, that it may be in the context of seeking the Lord. What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Rabbi means teacher, but being interpreted for the Gentiles, it also means master. And then much is declared with the speaking of those disciples. The Lamb of God, his priestly office. Rabbi teacher, his prophetical office. And master, that is his kingly office. And the Lord has a people that is instructed in the necessity of all three, can never be separated, but they need to be distinguished. And then John and Andrew are that people. Many times they have a way of asking questions without plainly declaring how it is, also concerning their soul. But in their questions, much lies in those questions. We could give examples, think of those daughters of Jerusalem in the Song of Solomon 5, the verses 8 through 10. Then when the bride, that backslidden bride, has sought the help of the daughters to find her beloved, then those daughters did not say so much about themselves, but they were given to ask, that in that way they may hear more about the beloved of the bride, what is thy beloved more than other beloveds? They did not say that he had all those beloveds, but it was declared. And so the simple question of the two disciples, Master, where dwellest thou? They did not say we are now converted, but a simple question, and that implies they had a desire for communion and for instruction. And that is our forethought in short. Instructed disciples, he saith unto them, come and see. In our text words, we have the first words of Jesus concerning his public ministry. And what touching and comforting words. Then the first words are, what seek ye? Given the dove opportunity to unburden their hearts. And then the next words, come. What precious invitations we have of Jesus. Think of Matthew 11, verse 28. Come all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give thee rest. Then Jesus, what sweet, what comforting words that Jesus has spoken. Come and see. And so they were given to follow, and then we read, they came and saw where he dwelt and abode him with that day. Then they were given to sit at the feet under the great prophet, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, how they have listened. What questions they must have asked concerning the Messiah as the Lamb of God. That people have many questions. No, John and Andrew did not belong to that Christendom that knew exactly how it all had to go. The Lord leadeth his people in those mysterious, unfathomable ways. And that is concerning grace. And that is concerning the way of providence. It was such a blessed day. It was a day because we read it was about the 10th hour. The Jews, they computed their time from 6 o'clock in the morning to 6 o'clock in the evening. But the Romans, they began at midnight and at 12. There are different thoughts about the 10th hour, but we do read specifically that they abode with him that day, and also in other parts of the Gospel of John, not always so easy to reconcile the different times. But then it seems to imply that perhaps it was the 10th hour in the morning, and they have dwelt with him that day, and that was a day, not only a day of instruction, but it was a day of the revelation of the Lamb of God as the Son of God, that taketh away the sin of the world. And that was a day congregation, because the general thought is that John has written his gospel toward the end of his life. Thus perhaps, of course it was by the inspiration of the Spirit, but perhaps 60 years after that day was the 10th hour. Sweet meditations and sweet reflections, the blessings, the privileges of two disciples, and then we shall close with the blessing of that meditation. Ah, let us yet add. Our old fathers have said that they believed that there are not so many single conversions. And then they were not only speaking of office bearers, but they were speaking of sinners saved. Then it becomes the desire and the longing that all people may come to that saving knowledge. And so we read in the verses 41 and 42 that Andrew went to his brother and said, "We have found the Messiah." Concerning that meditation, the psalmist, this says in Psalm 94, verse 19, "In the multitude of my thoughts with me, thy comforts delight my soul." Amen. Let us close. Our Lord, when we have nearly come to the close of this day, then it behooves us to thank and acknowledge thy great and worthy name for the blessings which thou hast granted, where word and the sacrament could be administered in the midst of the congregation by renewal in this evening hour, an hour of reflection. And then we have heard of two disciples that they were given to follow thee. They were questioned by thee, and they were instructed in the ways of the Lord. Oh Lord, do remember us and our dear children. Work lovingly, work irresistibly. We may commence another week. Remember the mothers at home with the children. Remember the mothers with the unborn. Remember those that are called to labor also in the night watches, mothers, care homes in emergency. Remember at work, at school, on the way. Keep us from harm and danger. Keep us under thy kind care and thy good protection. Wilt thou provide for the coming Lord's Day? Help the consistory, the congregation, all those that may have an active part, the doorkeepers, those that lead the congregational singing, the sound. Ah, Lord, grant many Aaron's and hers. Remember when we hope to serve the branch. Bring us now safely to our dwellings. Grant a prayer for one another. Pardon us of all of our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 204. Let us only sing 1 and 2. O God, how good thou art to all the pure of heart. Though life seems vain, burdened with anxious care, I groped in dark despair till in thy house of prayer all was made plain. 204. Only 1 and 2. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.